We have certainly enjoyed the singing tonight, the beautiful songs. Those songs are songs that touch our hearts, and they move us inside our spirit. I thank God for precious memories. I'm glad I've made a few along the way, for the Lord has allowed me to make some. As we stand here tonight and look out over this audience, we are reminded of precious memories that God has allowed us to make. And I've got some pictures at home that was made with a cheap camera many years ago. And every once in a while I get them out and I look at them and they're just about faded out. That paper that they was printed on might not been the best, or the camera wasn't the best, and time has worn those pictures, but the memories that we have in our hearts and minds are just as good as they've ever been. It's good to see a lot of folks here tonight from a lot of places. We appreciate the visitors that's here. And everyone that's here from every church, we appreciate you being here. Appreciate the visitors the last few nights that we've had, and we've had visitors every night. I've enjoyed the services. So Brother Dillon preached last night, and he did a really good job, and I enjoyed hearing him for the first time. I hope it's not the last. I do want to thank the Armors tonight for a bountiful meal. They had us over to their house and they fed us and supplied us well in that area, and we appreciate that very much, and we appreciate being able to gather together with our brothers and sisters, being in people's homes, making the friendships that will last until time be no more for us. I would ask you to pray for us tonight as we look at a passage of Scripture that's been upon our heart. And I want to read just a few verses of Scripture that we find in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews for Scripture reading tonight. I believe the writer was the Apostle Paul. Some might consider maybe someone else as the writer, but it is the Word of God, and this book was written to the Jews. And I want to read about three verses of Scripture in the 12th chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that's new every morning. Every day of our life, that is a new challenge for that day. To lay aside the weights that easily beset us and to endeavor to run with patience this race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We'll end our scripture reading there. I want to consider this last verse that we have read, where that the scriptures, the Word of God, is admonishing us, as well as those that this was written to in that day. And it says, consider him. And that him is Jesus, who is mentioned in the previous verse of Scripture. It says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. I want you to think with me tonight about what Jesus endured while he was here in the world. And during that 3.5 years or so that he had revealed himself to man and to the world and to the Jews that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. He revealed that with miracles and mighty works. The scripture says that he went about doing good. And he revealed himself in every way that he could have revealed himself. I believe he revealed himself sufficiently that every person that saw him or heard him or even heard about him, and some just heard about him and believed. But he did reveal himself to the world as the promised Messiah. And yet we understand that there was many, in fact, the great majority of that day, that they turned him away and would not believe upon him as the Savior of the world, and more importantly, their own Savior. We read about the scriptures that spoke about Jesus in prophecy about 700 years before that he came into the world, in the prophet Isaiah. And these words described this situation that would occur when Jesus came into the world, because God knows everything from the beginning. And so we find these words in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And verse 3, the scripture says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now, if you think about this great contradiction that the writer in Hebrews was writing about, said, consider him that endured this contradiction of sinners against himself. God sent his Son into this world to save man from sin and from the damnation of sin. He sent his Son into this world to save man and to give eternal life to man. And yet, those that he was sent to rejected the one that was sent to save them and to give them eternal life. That is a great contradiction. A great contradiction. You know, a person that says one thing and does something else, we say that's a contradiction. This word that we find in the book of Hebrews that was translated into the English word contradiction, but the Greek word, it literally meant disobedience. Disobedience. Those that rejected Jesus were disobedient to God and to the Word of God, and they were disobedient to the drawing power of the Holy Spirit that is sent to draw man to God. And so what Jesus endured while he was here was this great disobedience of the people that he came to save, that he came to do the greatest favor that anyone has ever done for another person, and yet they rejected him. In the book of John, in chapter 1, John, the apostle John, wrote there about Jesus, who he refers to as the Word that was God and the Word that was with God. And he said the same was in the beginning with God. But down in that chapter, he says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own. He came to the Jews. He came to the seed of Abraham. According to the flesh, Jesus was born of the lineage of Abraham. You can read his genealogy in Matthew and Luke, and you will find that both runs back through Abraham. He came to his own because he loved his own. He came for the whole world. But it was a great contradiction of sinners against himself that those that he came to save and those that he came to redeem from sin, those that he came to pay that great redemption price of his own life for, that they rejected him and would not believe upon him. Oh, what a contradiction. In the book of Philippians, there's a verse or two of scripture there that spoke about Jesus and how that he came into this world. The scriptures says that when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth his Son made of a woman, that is, made in the flesh, that he might take upon himself the flesh of man and be like us in the flesh and endure everything that we have ever endured, every temptation, the scripture says, yet without sin. Amen. But he came for man. And the scripture says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what Jesus did for you and me. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus became obedient to the Heavenly Father that he might buy our salvation and pay the debt of sin. And yet man that he came for will not be obedient to the Word of God and to him who came to pay for our sin. I believe it's a great contradiction. It's a contradiction of sinners against him that came and that loved us so. You know, Jesus, while he was here in the world, he spoke sometimes in parables. He spoke sometimes in ways that the Jews that was hearing him could not completely or rightly understand what that he was really saying. Sometimes they even came to Jesus and they said, explain this to us. Some of the parables that Jesus spoke, they said, explain this to us. But there was many times that Jesus spoke very plainly to those that had rejected him. He just laid it out before them very clearly so that they could understand without any doubt what he was talking about. In the 15th chapter of the book of John, these very same ones that had rejected him, even to the point of they were seeking to take his life and put him to death. And Jesus, he said concerning them in this 15th chapter of John, about the 22nd verse, Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Now he didn't mean that literally that they didn't have sin. Because we're born sinners into this world, they had sin, but what he meant was that they would not have had this kind of sin or this specific sin of rejecting him. He said, if I'd not come and spoken to them, they'd not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Do you know that once that the Word of God has been preached to us and we're lost sinner without God and without hope in the world, once that the Word of God has been preached to us and declared to us, we have no more cloak for our sin. Man tries to cover his sin and has since the Garden of Eden. You know what Adam and Eve did there in the Garden of Eden? Took the fig leaves and tried to sew them together for a covering for their sin. It wasn't sufficient then, and there is no cloak or covering for sin that man has ever been able to make or to put on or to wear that has ever been able to cover our sin. The Jews tried to make a cloak for their sin. They tried to do many good works. The keeping of the law. That was a cloak for them of their sin. It made them feel a little better about themselves, but it did nothing for their poor, wretched soul. Man still tries to make a cloak for his sin or a covering for his sin. I did. I'm sure many of you that are sitting here tonight, when you were lost and without God, you tried to cover that up some way. You tried to hide that from man, knowing that you really can't hide it from God. I did that. We look back upon it, it seems so ridiculous sometimes what we tried to do when we were in our sin, but we were just like these that was trying to make a cloak for their sin. I tried to hide behind a songbook. Not very big, is it? I was just a young boy, but it wouldn't cover me. It didn't even fool the preacher that was preaching the Word of God to me that night. It didn't even fool him. If it didn't fool him, what chance did I have to fool God? None. None. Man tries to make a cloak for his sin, but Jesus said, since that I have come and spoken to them, they don't have any cloak for their sin. They rejected him. The Son of God that he sent into this world. You know, the scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But have you ever thought about how much that God loved his Son? He loved the world enough to send his Son, but he also loved his Son. I guess he loved his Son enough to send him and to give him for man. What a contradiction of sinners against him. You know, I thought about if a man was taken to an emergency room of a hospital and he needed the help and the care of those that was there, the doctors, nurses, and those that was there to administer to him to save his life, and then when he got there, he rejected the care that they could give him. That'd be a contradiction, wouldn't it? But that's what man does. That's what man did then. While Jesus was here in the world, there was this great contradiction of sinners against himself. And they had no cloak for their sin. In Romans, in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians, the saved that was at Rome. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'll say that it was then and it still is. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. All we need to preach is the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Well, the scripture says, for therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. And that's Jesus Christ. He's the righteousness of God. But the gospel also reveals to us the wrath of God. That wrath that abides upon the unsaved even now. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. God has revealed himself even through the creation or the things that he made in this world and his eternal power and Godhead. He has revealed himself to this world in various and sundry ways. And the scripture says that man is without excuse. I told you a moment ago that Jesus spoke very clearly to those that had rejected him while he was here. In the 8th chapter, the book of John, these Jews, the scribes and Pharisees especially, that had rejected him and would not believe upon him as their Savior, and Jesus spoke very, very clearly to them. I believe the Word of God is very clear. I believe it still speaks very clearly to people. Brother Dillon spoke very clearly by the use of the Word of God last night concerning that there is a heaven and there's a hell. He stood right there and he declared that out of the Word of God. He didn't say it. The Word of God says these things. And Jesus, while he was here, he said to those that had rejected him, that was part of this contradiction against himself. He said, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Now that's pretty plain. When that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of this world, looked at people and he said, I'm going my way. He meant that he was going to the cross of Calvary and he would do what God sent him to do. But he said, ye shall die in your sins. I said, therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Amen. And it's still true tonight. Amen. Every person that lives this life and fails to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to believe upon him for the salvation of their own soul will die in their sins. Yeah. I believe it's a great contradiction that Jesus, who loved man so much, that he was willing to come to this world and to be made sin for man. That he was willing to do that. And Jesus came and he did everything that he came to do. Oh, I think about that so many times. The very best that we'll do. It doesn't matter how devoted, it doesn't matter how faithful that we are to the cause of God, we are going to leave many things undone on this trip that we'll go through in this life. I look back and I see many things that I should have done, but I failed. All I can say is I'm glad that I have a forgiving Father. I'm glad that I have a long-suffering God. But Jesus came and He did everything that He came to do. He fulfilled everything that He came to fulfill. He left nothing undone. Nothing. In the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, there's a verse or two of scripture concerning Jesus and when that He came near the end of His time here. You know, He had labored. He had preached. He had tried to convince man that He was their Savior, and to no avail to many. And He came, and the Scriptures speaks of how that He beheld the city of Jerusalem. And His Scripture says that He wept over it. In the 19th chapter of Luke, the 42nd verse, and He said to those as He looked down upon Jerusalem and their lost condition and their undone state that they were in, and yet they had rejected Him. He would have saved them in a minute. He would have redeemed their soul from hell in a second if they had just turned to Him and believed upon Him. And He wept over the city. And He said, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thy eyes. If you'd have just known, He said, if you'd have just known all that I've done to save you and redeem you, if you just knew. But they didn't know, because they had hardened their hearts, and Satan had blinded their minds, and they was unable to see. The Scripture says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We must always remember that they're lost, and they're blind, and they cannot see. They need help. What a contradiction of sinners against our Savior. It still is. It's still a contradiction that those that need Him the most have a desire to Him the least. You know, I thought about when Jesus was tried in Jerusalem, and He was falsely accused. He was turned over to the Roman soldiers to be scourged or beaten, and He was mocked. You know, there's never been anyone so good that was treated so bad. But that's our Lord. That's the contradiction of sinners against Him. And He was led up Calvary's hill to Golgotha. Carried His cross part of the way. Couldn't carry it anymore. They compelled another man to carry it the rest of the way. He was nailed to the cross. As He was being nailed to the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing, is what he said. And they didn't. If they had, they would not. I dare say there's not a one of us that's been saved by the grace of God that could dare drive a nail into his body. Couldn't do that. Some things a man can do, and some things a man just can't do. I don't believe a child of God that's been redeemed by his blood could ever drive a nail in him. But those that are blind and lost and in sin, they can. This great contradiction of sinners against himself. Sinner, he came for you. He came to save your soul. He paid the debt. And when you spurn the gospel, and when you turn him away, and you frustrate the spirit that strives with your soul to turn you to repentance toward God, when you do all of those things to resist the drawing power of the Spirit of God, that's a contradiction against him. This work of salvation is a work of God, wrought in the hearts of sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a mysterious thing. I wish I could explain it to you, but I can't. But I can tell you that it's real. And I can tell you that when you come and you surrender yourself to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you surrender yourself to him completely without resisting whatsoever, when you do that, that he will save your soul. Amen. I can attest to that. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because he did it for me. I read a passage of scripture the other night concerning Paul. He thought he was the greatest sinner there had ever been. I guess we'll all have to come to the place that we'll think that we're the greatest sinner. I know I did. It's a great contradiction that Jesus came for sinners and sinners turn him away. The Apostle Paul said, we persuade men. We just persuade men. That's all we can do. We can't compel anybody to seek the Lord. We can't compel anybody to trust in the Lord and be saved. Can't compel anybody to do anything, but we sure do persuade you. We persuade you to seek God. Salvation of your soul. Amen. And be saved before it's ever lasting too late. I pray that God, if he's dealing with somebody's heart tonight, I pray that you'll begin to seek the Lord, that you'll find him precious to your soul. I can tell you tonight, I won't bore you with that, but I can recall, you're talking about precious memories, that song said. I can say this now, I couldn't have said it in 1958, but I remember the night that the Lord first convicted me to the point that I made my way to an altar of prayer. That's a precious memory. That's a precious memory because it is a milestone in my journey from nature to grace. It's a marker. It's a marker. A milestone. It marks that place where the Spirit of God touched my heart so overwhelmingly.
and coming to an altar where I bowed down and prayed for the very first time publicly. The very first time. I tell you, I fall on my knees now anytime. It just don't matter anymore. That's good. I'm glad to fall down before my Savior and my Master. I'm glad to do that now because He saved my soul. That's all I got. But it'll take me to heaven someday. I'm going. And I hope you will too. Oh, thank God. He's been so good. I thank Him for saving my family. I'm so thankful for that because I know I'm going to be leaving for long. But that's all right. You see, I was part of that contradiction of sinners against Him at one time. I was part of that. I had my part in that. Why in the world would I do that? Why would I hurry Him away? Because Satan enticed me to do that. But he was lying to me. And he's lying to you tonight. Amen. If Satan is saying, don't you go seek the Lord, don't you pray tonight for your soul, he's lying to you.
Amen.
Because he wants to capture you for himself. And the torments of hell. Brother Burke will have a song.
If you're lost and without God tonight, come and let us pray with you. Go ahead, Brother Burke.
Turn to page 387. Let's see how you're going to stand. Just
as I am with.
He knows about us. He
you're not saved, he wants to save you.
Amen.
Let's have another verse of song. If you're a saved person, there's something God wants you to do, you do it.
Let's turn to page number 369.
And there's a great day coming.
Outside in. A lot of us in here are dressed nice and And we where we go to church and everything. But what the Lord's looking at tonight is your heart. You know, that drunk, it didn't make any difference to my Lord and Savior. While he was laying out down there on the ground, begging to God and asking him to save his soul, it didn't make any difference to God what he was wearing. Didn't make a bit of difference. What made a difference to God was he was humble in his heart, and he knew that if he was ever going to be changed, if he was ever going to be dried out from that alcohol and from those drugs, he knew that if he was going to get that cleaned up in his life, there wasn't one person that he could turn to. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And it doesn't make any difference if you've never touched a drop of alcohol in your life. You come into this world to sin. You was born into this world to sin. And if you don't get saved by God's grace, if you never repent of your sins and trust in Jesus to the salvation of your soul, you will die and go to a devil's hell. You'll split it wide open. I don't care if you've been to church every Sunday since you was born. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, you need to consider that. Brother Forshee preached a good message. He preached a message of truth tonight. Pray that it done something to your heart. It stirred you. It opened your eyes to your condition. That you would seek Him. He can save you tonight. I just preached Sunday morning about how God deals with us in the present tense. We couldn't be saved yesterday. Or we can't be saved tomorrow. Because tomorrow is not promised to us. But we can be saved today. In the present. He's here with us tonight. He's here with us in the present. He's here wanting us to save souls tonight. Right at this very moment. He'll save your soul. He'll save your soul. If you'll trust in Him tonight. If you'll turn to Him. He'll clean your lives up. From the inside out. He'll make you a new person. He'll make you new. I promise you that. I've heard many testimonies of things that happened like that. I'm glad to know that my Lord and Savior doesn't look upon the outside, but He looks on the inside. When somebody gets their heart right for Him, when they repent and turn everything over to Him, they say He saves their soul. I was a little boy, didn't have nothing to offer the Lord. What did He say, my soul? Didn't have a thing in the world. I might have had a couple of little toys. You know, and I held on to them till the last thing. But when I turned everything over to the Lord, when I gave everything up, when I was willing to give my very life that He might save my soul.
Somebody touch me, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me.
Walk and do anything I want you to. marks or the type of people that we are or how we dress or how we look or what color our skin is or where we work or where we don't work or anything else. He don't care. Because in his eyes, we are all the same. Mm-hmm. And Paul had to get right, too. Yeah. He had to get saved just like the rest of us, even though he thought he was doing everything right and he was way above everybody else. He found out he wasn't. It makes me humble just to think that he reached out on this sinful girl that I was and I still am, and he saved me. And I want to thank him for that.
Amen.
Because you know what? If it ended up to me, I would have never got it right. I still don't have it right. I'm still trying. I'm still not good enough. But it's okay. Because I know what I got right here.
Amen. 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 The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. You know? He's not a respecter of persons. He looks down to those who trust in Jesus. He sent his son, Jesus, to be an example, to hang on the cross for those who see and believe that they can be saved. Something on someone else's heart.
Brother Armour, I thank the Lord for salvation tonight. I want to tell just a little bit about when I got saved. It was in a little country church in West Tennessee. I've been going to the altar my third year. And I went to the altar that night. I guess it's the only time I've ever been on the floor. And that night, about midnight, I guess, I got saved. I didn't know what it was. And I went back the next night and gave the altar call. I didn't feel a thing. And this lady came to me and she said, "Don't you want to go to the altar?" And I said, "I don't feel like I need to." And she said, "Well, why don't you go anyway and pray about it?" So I went. I didn't feel a thing. I was just peaceful and happy, content. So I prayed about it, and I just couldn't feel anything else. So I told that night that I'd been saved. And I'm so glad that I did. And I'm thankful for that lady that advised me to do that, because if I hadn't gone that night, I may have been gone on for years and not going to church and been baptized. And it was on a Wednesday night, August the 1st, 1951. The reason I know, I don't know how I remember, right after me and James got married, we bought ourselves a Bible. And I wrote it down. I didn't know what day of the week it was. And I picked the Bible up. I don't know how long ago. It's getting old. I don't use it much anymore. But I saw that August the 1st. And I found a calendar and I looked at it. It was on a Wednesday night. I'm so thankful for that. Salvation for my children being saved. For my husband. I'm glad that he got to come to the Bible this year with me. Can y'all just pray for us and we'll do what the Lord wants us to do?
Appreciate this. Let's thank you. You know, only those of us that's been saved by God's grace can Can a day, a night, and a place stir our soul so much? Oh, how it can just stir our souls to the very core. Bring so much happiness and so much joy. And understanding in our lives and our heart. How it just makes everything in the world seem okay. As we look back upon that moment in time where the Lord spoke peace to our soul. To the world, it might just be something crazy. It don't make any sense. But we can look back on that moment and that day and, oh, how it can just, you can lift us up, can't it? Can't it take us from the very bottom to the very top when we just consider what the Lord done for us in that moment? Oh, what a glorious thing. What a glorious thing. You know, you think about a lot of the world today, you know, they probably go up and they go through whatever motions they go through. They join a church, they shake the preacher's hand, they do whatever they do to, I guess, to make themselves just to appease their conscience. But it never gives them any hope. It never gives them any assurance when times are hard. It don't do nothing for them because it didn't change them in here. It didn't fix what was wrong with them to begin with. They're still a sinner. They're still a sinner. Thankful tonight. Thankful tonight. That I knew that I was taught as a child that I had to have something that I knew about. That I needed a time and a place. I needed that. I needed a time and a place. Didn't understand that until the Lord saved my soul. Still don't know the day. But it was night time, and I can take you to the place. What does that song say? I can tell you the time, I can show you the place where the Lord saved me by His glorious grace. That's good stuff. Something on someone else's heart. Not may the Lord's done with us. We thank you all for coming. All you visitors that are here tonight, we certainly thank you.
Amen.
And we had asked you if you could, come back. Please come back and help us in this effort. If you can't come back, please pray for us.
Brother Armour, could we just sing that song before we go?
Sure.
I can tell you that.
Sure. If Brother Burke can come.
Number 228.
need love. I love them too.
We love him because he loves us first.
Amen.
Brother Armour, I just can't leave here tonight without thanking the Lord for saving my soul. Devil's been telling me, no, you don't want to stand up. You don't want to thank the Lord. I'm thankful that the lady requested that song so I'd have the chance to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I had it all planned out because I had seen other ones saved, and they shouted all over the place that they saw lights. But I just got peace. And years later, the devil made me doubt it. But I went back to that place and knew that I just got peace, and that's all I was going to get. I'm so thankful. I want to say I've enjoyed being here Sunday night and tonight. Heard the good message.
Amen.
Amen. And I've grown to love a lot of these ladies that we've been in the fellowship meeting, and appreciate this church. I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul.
Amen. Appreciate this. Certainly good to have you here with us tonight.
Amen.
Something on someone else's heart. This is the Lord's service. Say amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. So good to be born. Saving my family. Saving my children. I've been with this church for many years. I love it, Lord. It's good to see some faces I haven't seen in a while. I appreciate our visitors being comfortable to take part in our services. And we appreciate that very much.
Amen.
Brother here got saved the year I was born. He was born in June 1936. He got saved July 1936. He wrote a song. He goes by saying, "I wish you would."
Which one did
he? He don't know.
I've been blessed, like I said, when I don't know what we talk about a shift. But
by faith, not by sight, trust in Him day and night. With the Lord you are never alone. Leaning on His strong arm, safe, secure from all harm. Our dear Lord truly cares for His own. Jesus Christ cares for me. This He proved at Calvary, where He suffered, bled, and died to set us free. The supreme sacrifice, when He laid down His life, He my Savior, and He cared for me. He cared for me.
On someone else's heart. Just what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to watch out for one another. Help us mom. Help each other on the meet. We're supposed to be here for one another. I think both of them will say you're doing pretty good. It took several years, but you're coming out pretty good. Amen. Amen. Appreciate this. Someone else. With all hearts and minds free, All standing, we'll be dismissed. Potluck supper, Saturday, 5:00. Come and bring friends. Somebody probably better bring some food too. Yeah. That'd be a good idea if somebody brought some food too. But we're going to be here. If you're here visiting with us tonight, we'd love to have you come meet with us. Love to have you come and eat with us and be with us. Saturday, 5:00. All hearts and minds free.
Brother Armour, I'd like to say it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. We went off to join another church, a little bit closer to home, but these halls, these walls will always be home to me in my heart. This is where I was raised, my mama. Like the song said, our precious father and our loving mother. If it wasn't for them to bring me to church, I would have never been saved. I'd never been exposed to anything related to the Lord. So I have to say hats off to my mom and father for finding this church and bringing both sons up in it. I think, honestly speaking, and knocking on wood, she has brought up, both of them have brought up two wonderful sons. They're fixing to be another grandmama. They're going to be a great grandmama. So they've got an expanding family. And we all still go to church, even though it's in different places of the Nashville. But to me, like I said, this one will always be home and be a special place in my heart.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Well, you just ain't going to find the truth in any word. It's not going to happen. It's important that we go where the truth is. That's what we need. We need to hear the truth. Anything else? For the couple of God, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Our Father, this night, as we come to the close of this service, we're grateful, Lord, for the blessings of being here, for your word that's been preached and the one who brought it. Thank you for Brother Forshee and his life and what he's meant to me and so many other people. Pray, Lord, for the ones that have been mentioned from time to time, have special needs in their lives, the ones that are lost around about us, maybe somebody here tonight, I don't know, Lord, but you know. And they've heard a good message, they've heard good testimonies from your people, and surely they can realize that you're real. Thank you for your word, Lord, that teaches us about you, about Jesus, who died for us all. I'm grateful that I'm a participant in that, that you saved me at an early age and have kept me all these years. But the millions of others, Lord, that you have saved, also I'm grateful for that. Thank you for the good testimonies we've heard, the prayers, the songs, and all that's been done to lift your